Rad. Our video team does such an amazing job with all these videos. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Mike Mason, and I am one of the pastors and elders here at the church. And I'm stoked to be with you this morning. If you haven't noticed, Pastor Matt and Pastor John, they're not here this morning because they are currently leading a team of 14 people on a mission trip in Japan. So let's be praying. Let's be praying that God would use them powerfully as they share the love of Jesus up there. We have a lot to unpack today, so we're going to jump right into it. I want to start with this question. Have you ever been so moved by an act of generosity that it stirred you to do the same? Maybe someone sacrificed for you in a way that you didn't deserve it. Maybe you received a gift so good that you had to do something about it. I've had this happen a few times in my life, but there's one time that stood out. In late 2018, my wife and I, we purchased a new car. And since I'm into cars, I had to buy a few accessories for my car. It was a necessity. So I went out and I bought some aftermarket lights, I bought some license plate holders, I put some tint on the car, and I bought a few other accessories. But the most important thing anytime I get a car is to change out the rims. But here's the problem. Rims can be very expensive, and I don't like to spend money. So I have always gone with secondhand rims just to save some money. So I have a friend and a coworker at my state job, and he was in the market for some rims at the time. So we would talk about it a lot. We'd send each other pictures. And then one day I get into the office, and out of the blue, he says, "Mike, I'm going to buy you a brand new set of rims." And I was super surprised. I'm local, and I'm small, kind Asian. So I do the local Asian thing, right? "Nah, bro, no need. I'm good. I can do it. I can buy it myself because I could, right?" We go back and forth for a few days. And then he ends up buying me a brand new set of rims. Family, I was shocked, I was humbled, and I was overwhelmed all at the same time. Why? Because I knew in my heart that I didn't deserve this gift. I was so blown away by his act of generosity that I felt this overwhelming desire to be generous to someone else. So a friend from church popped into mind. I knew he was into cars too, so I went out, and I bought him a brand new set of LED headlights for his car. And I couldn't wait to give it to him. So I get to church on Sunday. He pops in about 30 minutes later. He walks through the doors. And I run over to him and I hand him this box. And he looks at me and he's like, "What is this for?" I told him, "Someone was generous to me. So I wanted to be generous to you." And church, that's the beauty of the gospel. God lavishly, he pours his love into us, and then the Spirit compels us to love God and then to extend that love to others. And that's what we're going to see this morning. In Christ, we've been given more than we ever deserve. And our only response, our only fitting response, is to live with open hands and generous hearts. So our theme verse for the next 2 months and possibly the next 2 years is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that God, who began a good work in you, will be faithful to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. And with this verse, we're navigating our discipleship journey. And we saw over the last 2 weeks that God calls us to be receivers and learners. And this week, we're going to see how God is calling us to be givers until the day he returns. So I'm going to take a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll jump into the passage. So please pray with me. Father in heaven, our prayer is simple. Use the next few moments to open our eyes to see the things that you want us to see. Father, open our ears to hear the things that you want us to hear. And open our hearts to receive the things that you want us to receive. Allow us to be changed as a result of this time. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So church, we're going to continue our trek through the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. Now, the beautiful thing about the book of Ephesians is that when you open it up, Paul doesn't start with a list of things to do. That's not how he starts. He starts by giving you a new identity to stand in. Chapters 1 to 3 are like Paul standing on this mountaintop and declaring what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. He says things like, "You have been chosen before the foundation of the world." He says, "You have been adopted as sons and daughters of the King." He says that you have been redeemed, forgiven, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. He says that you were dead in your sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, made you alive with Christ. Church, that's not a pep talk. That's not religious motivation. That is gospel reality. But it's funny because Paul knows something about us, right? He knows that it's easy for us to hear all this truth, to nod our head in agreement, and then to walk out those doors completely unchanged. So in the midst of speaking all this gospel truth, Paul decides to stop praying or stop writing and then seek the Lord through prayer. It's like having a conversation with someone. And then in the middle of that conversation, the person just stops and said, "Hey, can I pray for you?" That's what Paul is doing. And Paul asks God to take everything he's been saying and to drive it into the deepest part of their being. His prayer was that they would experience the love of Christ in an overwhelming way. Not just to recite it, not just to study it, but to actually be filled with the fullness of God. And church, that's where Paul is leading us this morning. He's leading us from theology to doxology. He's leading us from information to transformation. He's leading us from doctrine to devotion. And you know what? That's what powers are giving. So we're going to read this text together and then we'll break it apart. So let's pick it up in verse 14. It says this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And I pray that you, or that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width, the height and the depths of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, that you would be filled with the fullness of God." So Paul prays this beautiful and this powerful prayer, one that asks God to take us from head knowledge to lived experience. And that's where we get the fuel for our generosity. And that brings us to the first thing that powers are giving, which is we're strengthened by Christ. We see that in verse 16. Paul prays that God would grant you to be strengthened with power in your inner being. Now notice this, Paul doesn't pray that their problems would go away. He doesn't pray that their circumstances would change. Although that's a good prayer. I pray that kind of prayers all the time. Instead, what he prays for is something deeper. He prays for strength in their inner being. Because if your strength only comes from the outside, it's gonna rise and it's gonna fall with whatever's happening around you. But if your strength is rooted in Christ, nothing on the outside is gonna shake what God is doing on the inside. To be strengthened by Christ, it means that his Spirit now fills the places in us that are weak. It means that your courage doesn't have to come from your bank account. It means that your peace doesn't have to come from your situation. And it means that your generosity, it doesn't have to come from how much you think you can spare. It comes from Christ being alive in you, strengthening your heart, renewing your mind, and giving you the power that you don't have on your own. See, Paul knew that real transformation, it didn't start with circumstances. It starts with our heart. And when Christ strengthens our hearts, strengthens our inner being, generosity, it stops being forced. And it starts being this overflow of his life now in us. That brings us to the second thing that powers are giving. We're rooted in Christ. We see that in verse 17 to 19. Let's read it. "And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width, the height and the depths of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge." Church, there is something very special and transformative about experiencing the love of God. And Paul prays that we would comprehend this love. Another translation, one that I prefer, says that you would grasp this love. It's a gripping, it's a literal taking hold of this love. It's not just an intellectual knowledge of it, it's an experiential one. Jonathan Edwards, a famous theologian, he once said this: "There are two ways to know that honey is sweet. First way is with your mind. You can understand it, you can read about it, you can even hear someone describe it. But the other way is with your mouth, when you taste it. And once you taste it and you know for yourself that honey is sweet, everything changes." Some of you in this place, you may believe, you may even know in your head that Jesus loves you. There's a song that I sing with my boys probably every other week. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. And that is true. But I want to ask you this question. Do you know how much he loves you? Paul prays that we would know the length and the width, the height and the depth of God's love. He wanted us to understand. He wanted us to know this love that surpasses knowledge. He wants us to get this at the core of our being. The Bible tells us that no one has greater love than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Family, that's Jesus. You see, the greatest act of love in the history of the world is Christ dying in our place for our sins. He chose to die. He willingly laid down his life to set us free from the weight of sin and death. It all culminates at the cross of Christ. And that's what Paul wants us to get. He wants us to be rooted in Christ's love because it's the foundation of everything. Think about it this way. Think about a big tree in the middle of a storm, right? The wind is pumping, the rain is pounding, and the branches are bending, swaying to and fro. But the tree doesn't fall. Why? It's because of what you can't see. You can't see the roots that run deep into the soil, anchoring the tree and drawing up life and strength from the tree. It's the roots that make the tree strong. And church, that's what it means to be rooted in Christ's love. Life is gonna throw storms at you all the time. Criticism, failure, temptation, grief, financial hardship, relational hardships. Hey, you might be in the middle of a storm right now, but if your roots run deep into the unshakable love of Jesus, you won't be uprooted. His love is the soil that holds you steady, and it's the source that gives you life. But here's the thing. His love doesn't just hold you steady, it also fills you up. His love doesn't just sustain you, it overflows through you. And that's the source that powers your giving. And that brings us to the third thing that powers our giving, which is that we're filled by Christ. We see that in verse 19. Paul prayed so that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. So when the Bible talks about the fullness of God or the fullness of life, it talks about the newness of life, not just a feeling. It goes beyond our feelings. When Christ or the love of Christ fills you, your life will be different. Your thinking will change. Your desires are going to change. You're not going to be as needy or as afraid or as self-absorbed. You'll be more considerate and more generous. And I know all these things don't happen overnight. Don't think it does. I'm still working on a lot of it. Sanctification, the process of being made holy or more like Jesus, it's a lifelong process. But when we're filled by Christ, our minds and our hearts, they're now fused together, and it changes how we live and how we function. Maybe some of you have experienced or have not experienced being strengthened and rooted and filled by Christ. You've heard about his love. You may even believe it in your head, but you've never received it into your heart. This morning, you have the opportunity to taste that honey, to taste and to see that the Lord is good, to stop running on empty and instead be filled with the fullness of God. And my prayer is that today you would experience the overwhelming love of Jesus in a very personal way. When we experience all these things, it starts to reshape our hearts, it starts to reshape our minds. We no longer cling tightly to what we have, but we live open-handed with everything God has given us. Why? It's because of the overabounding, overflowing riches in Christ. It's almost like we can't help it. It's like a cup being poured into with water. The water doesn't stop. What happens? It overflows. Now, I'll be very honest. Not everyone experiences this overflow, but we all can. We all can as we continue to grow as disciples. And that's what Paul's prayer for us is. When we begin to live our lives that are overflowing, it opens our eyes to all the ways that God calls us to be generous. So church, let's get practical. Let's get practical and look at some ways that God calls us to be generous because we've been given so much in Christ. The first way to be generous, or one way we can be generous, is with our time. Psalm 90, verse 12, it says this: teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What does that mean, teach us to number our days? It means to make the most out of the time that God has given you. So let me ask you this question. What owns your time? Think about it. Where do you spend the bulk of your free time? For some, it could be hobbies. For others, it could be hours of Netflix or YouTube. For many, it's probably hours of mindless doom scrolling. I recently read this statistic that said the average American spends over 4 hours a day on their phone, and some spend as much as 8 hours a day. That's a whole workday. That is wild. Now imagine this. Imagine if even a portion of that time was redirected toward kingdom impact. What if we invested an hour less on our hobbies or on screens and an hour more in scripture, hour more in prayer, hour more with our relationships? That would be transformative. Generosity isn't just about money. It starts with being generous with our time. Giving someone our undivided attention, maybe showing up, maybe listening, serving, volunteering. That's how you redeem the time and number the days God has entrusted to you. And here's the thing, when you start giving your time, you often discover your God-given talents. And that brings us to the second way we can be generous with this, which is with our talents. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says this: according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving, you do it with generosity. Leading with diligence. And showing mercy with cheerfulness. So here, Paul is just listing a few of the gifts that God gives people. Now, keep in mind, this is not an exhaustive list, but what it shows is that every single person has a gift that God placed in them to be used to serve the people around them and to serve the church. I heard it put this way. God has given every single person a unique shape, S-H-A-P-E, a unique S, a unique spiritual gift. God has put that in you, something in you that you can use to bless the body. He's given you a unique heart, your emotions, what you're passionate about. He's giving you unique abilities, things that you're just naturally gifted at. A unique personality, P, the way you're built and how you interact with people, even how you view things, and the unique experiences. And all these things, they make up who you are and how God can use you to bless the people around you and to bless his church. So here's the question. What happens if you don't know your spiritual gift or how God has built you? The best way to discover them is simply by serving. You work out what God has put into you. And as you do that, you're going to begin to see more clearly the gifts and the talents that God has given you. So when I first got saved, I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know much about ministry. I didn't know much about church. All I knew was that Jesus loved me, a sinner like me. He gave his life for me, and I was changed. So I wanted to get involved, and I got involved. I helped with setup and tear down. I learned how to run soundboard. I learned how to run cables. We were a mobile church at the time. I ran errands. I played music in church. I even cooked, and I'm not the best cook. I look like this because my wife can cook, not because I can cook. I even did that. If there was a gap, I tried to fill it. And what I didn't realize was that God was using these simple acts of service to prepare me. As I stayed faithful in the small things, he started opening up doors for me. He started showing me some of the things that he placed in me. First leading one ministry, then multiple ministries, and then eventually stepping into a calling. Family, many of you in this place are involved in some sort of way. And I want to say that we see you. You are appreciated. Thank you so much for giving your time and your talent to bless the body and to point people to Jesus. We're so grateful for each and every one of you. But if you aren't involved, I want to encourage you. Go ahead and get involved. This may be your next step. And you're going to hear us say that a lot over the next couple years. What's your next step in Christ? If this is it, there are tons of ways you can get involved. I'm just going to list some. You can get involved with setup, with teardown, hospitality, if you like to cook, coffee ministry, security, Tech, Aloha team, if you're good with people, children's ministry, if you like kids, worship team, prayer teams, community groups, and the list goes on and on. There's so many different ways to get involved. And I know it's very intimidating and difficult to take that first step. How do I know? Because it's always intimidating for me to step out in faith when God calls me to do something. But I want to encourage you. You won't regret it if you do. I heard this saying, the church is not like a cruise ship where the few serve the many. It's like a battleship where everyone has a role and we're all on mission together. And using your gifts and talents is an act of generosity. So I want to encourage you, use what God has put into you to love God, to bless people, and to be on mission for his kingdom. And that brings us to the third way we can be generous, which is with our treasure. Jesus put it this way, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our bank account, our bank statements, it tells us the truth about what we value most. But here's the contrast. Generosity has this way of breaking money's grip on our hearts, and it reminds us that our ultimate security is in God. There's a video that I saw a few years ago. You guys might have seen it. I think it was pretty viral. I showed it to my boys a couple days ago, and they thought it was scary. It wasn't scary. Someone was trying to catch a baboon, right? This is in another country. So what they did is they put a little bit of food into a small opening of a tree. The baboon smells the food, and he goes over and puts his hand in the hole, and then he grabs the food. But then he finds himself stuck when he tries to take his hand out, because his hand is still filled with the food. All he needs to do is let go of that food and pull his hand out, but he doesn't, and he ends up getting caught. Sometimes that's how we are. We're so tightly attached to our finances and resources that instead of holding them, they're holding us. But the moment we release it to God, we step into this freedom that only God can give. I recently, like just a couple days ago, I heard this and I thought it was dope. The person said this, the act of releasing something either from your heart or your hands to God also postures our hands and our hearts to receive. We can't receive if we're holding on to something. Generosity has a way of reordering our hearts around Jesus. Now, I know some of you guys might be thinking, Mike, you're telling me to give? I have nothing. I don't have a lot of money. I'm barely making it. I have no resources. And I got to be honest, I feel you. I understand. I grew up in poverty. I know what it's like to eat rice for dinner because that's all we had. Our electricity would consistently be turned off. I know what it's like not to have 50 cents to catch the bus to school. And I know what you guys are thinking, 50 cents to catch the bus to school? How long ago is this? Hey, it wasn't that long ago. I'm not that old, okay? Although I think it's like $3 now. It's wild. Inflation is crazy. All jokes aside, generosity has never been about the amount. Never. It's about the heart. There's a story in Mark 12 that perfectly illustrates this idea. So Jesus was chilling with his disciples, and he's watching people bring their offering to the temple. And some people, they gave huge amounts of money out of their wealth. And that's a beautiful thing. If God has given you much, you're able to give a lot. That's such a beautiful thing. But then a poor widow comes in. And she gave two small copper coins. The Bible said that it was everything she had to live on. Jesus looks to his disciples and says, her gift was greater than everyone else's. Not because of the amount, but because of the heart. Church, sometimes giving will stretch us and it's gonna feel like a sacrifice. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it reminds us that when we give what we have decided in our hearts, and when we do that, we do it cheerfully. That's what God tells us to do. Why? Because God never calls us to give what he himself has not already given. The Father gave his Son when he sent him into the world. The Son gave his life when he died on a cross to set us free from the weight of sin and death. and the Spirit now gives us power to live a life devoted to Jesus. And church, this is a foundation of our generosity. We don't give out of guilt or obligation. We now give out of gratitude to the one who has already given us everything. As you guys came in this morning, you should have received a commitment card. Go ahead and hold that up for me. Hold it up for me. Let's go. I know this is probably very intimidating to look at, but I want to encourage you. This is not just about a card to fill out. It's about asking God, how are you calling me to step out in generosity with my time, with my talent, or with my treasure? I'm going to encourage you, go ahead and take this home and put it somewhere you're going to see it. You can put it on a mirror, you can put it on your fridge, put it in your car, and pray over it for the next couple weeks. And then I want to encourage you to bring it back on Vision 20 night, October 25th, or on November 2nd, our Commitment Sunday. And church, as we think about the next step of faith together, let's look back at what Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says this, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think, to the power at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Church, can you imagine? Can you imagine what God could accomplish through our generosity? If you have your vision guides, who has their vision guides? Nobody. No, I'm just playing, guys. I'm totally playing. I forget mine too. Sorry, guys. But if you look at page six, it shows us where God is taking us and our vision for the next few years. We want to see 100,000 gospel conversations to happen. We want to see 10,000 acts of service in our communities. We want to see 100 churches planted, and that's a huge vision. That's wild. But you know what? Our God can do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine. That's our God, because he is the one that powers our giving. So church, let's continue. Let's continue our discipleship journey as we commit to being givers until the day Christ returns. Because on that day, we're going to stand before the one who gave it all for us. And we're going to see that no act of generosity, none of it was wasted, because it was all for him. Church, please join me in prayer. Father, you are good. You've always been good. You will always be good. We just heard that you can do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine. God, we want to believe that. We want to live from that truth as we are rooted in Christ's love. So I pray right now for all of us in this room that we would grasp how long and how wide, how high and how deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we would be filled with the fullness of God in this place. That we would walk out these doors changed because we have met with the living God. And as we do that, we would live lives with open hands and generous hearts, because you are the one who powers our giving. You fill us, you strengthen us, as we're rooted in you. So God, continue to fill us as we continue to worship you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.